dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. This is a special edition of Abounding Grace to provide some insight, reflection, and help to those who are distressed over the current coronavirus pandemic. The message that you are about to hear is from Psalm 46. That is a beautiful call that we are to trust the Lord in times and not live in fear. Of course, there will be some who hear this and think that churches who are canceling worship out of love for their neighbor and in honor of submitting to the governing authorities who really want to preserve life are really demonstrating fear responses. And I don't believe that is so. I think that is neighborly love in light of the fact that the governing authorities are given to us to promote the good of society and preserve life. And when that is the intention of what they're doing, I believe as Christians, we need to honor that. But here in regard to how society is responding in panic, that is what this is particularly addressing. The scriptures are calling for a much more mature response to things like this that typically in the media, there is no reflection about, a spiritual response, looking at what God's word says as God himself calls us to put our trust in him alone, in the gospel of his son. This is from Psalm 46, and we hope this is a blessing to you today on Abounding Grace Radio.
Well, I don't have to make the case that we live in the most fearful of times, in the days we live where there is so much fear and there is so much anxiety gripping society right now. I have really stood sort of in awe of how much this virus has caused this much panic in our society. And I think that requires an answer from us to think about these things and God's word to us in the midst of this. But the things that have happened in light of this virus, the things that have happened, the emptying of bank accounts and the fear that has gripped people, empty shelves and people hoarding and stockpiling, it's stunning how the systems of the world, the economies of the world, societies, how really frail they are, and how everything's so intertwined and woven together, really, the whole thing can crumble, we see, in a moment, and we see how weak the leaders of the world are to solve these problems. They really are powerless to solve this. And that's why I think Psalm 46 is such a wonderful psalm to stop and consider today, because it's saying to us, your God is the God of the plague. I'm picking plague to pick the worst possible thing that could have happened to us. And I want to consider this morning why Psalm 46 is so helpful in that, so that we would be reoriented and listen to another voice. That's the purpose of this psalm. You'll notice that in the heart of this psalm, it says, when the Lord speaks, the earth melts. That's the voice we need to consider. Because there are a lot of voices in the world. There are a lot of people speaking right now. There are a lot of people telling us things. And rarely do we listen, or do people listen, to the one voice that really matters. And that's what Psalm 46 is so beautiful in helping us with, giving us and reorienting our perspective to the voice and the power of your God. That's my goal today, is to have you consider that God is an absolute help and shield to his people, and that ultimately, that psalm that you sung out, Psalm 91, the truth of it is embedded here, that ultimately there is nothing, nothing that can harm us. There is nothing that can take away what has been given to us. And that is the perspective that this psalm brings to us in Psalm 46. In this particular psalm, the situation is very dark. He has really reached a threshold of fear. He has come to it. He has come to a situation that has come upon him that now he has to face, and he has no idea how he's going to get through it. There are things like that in life that are so utterly fearful and so utterly scary that when they happen, and we think about what could happen if that thing happens in its fullness, the utter terror and the awful ruin as it would change life and the course of life as we know it. The power of this psalm is that he's describing a scenario like that. We're not directly told exactly what his particular situation is, but he wants to use it, and he wants us to think about other situations so that we would then apply the truth of this psalm to what we already know and have confidence as we go forward. Whatever has happened, life has been uprooted as he knows it. That's what makes the first verse so beautiful. In the midst of the horror and the suffering and the tragedy or whatever you might think here or face, he breathes one of the most beautiful expressions of trust in the Psalter that you will find. It's a psalm that we have used in almost every circumstance of life, at deathbeds or in situations like what we're facing today, because it speaks such help and comfort and perspective, and this saint having such trust in the one who holds the reins over everything. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. He uses some of the worst possible scenarios to have you consider and feel this so that you would understand that he's not speaking about little things. He's speaking about what we would consider the big things. And he uses the scenarios specific in life, some of the worst things that we might ever imagine or dream that could happen to make this case. You'll notice that he uses what we call the undoing of creation to make the point in verse 2. That he says, therefore, we will not fear even though the earth gives away. You ever heard that ridiculous claim that half of California might fall into the ocean? We would be that part. Did you know that? Therefore, the earth gives way. That's what he says. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. You see what he's doing for you? He's trying to picture and think about and have you imagine the worst possible things that could happen in creation to you, that you have no control over, that you have no way to handle. Nobody could stop the picking up of a mountain and throwing it into the middle of the sea, and then imagine the tsunami after that. It's the worst possible stuff. It's the stuff we lay in wait and fear about. If I could put it this way, it is undoing of creation back to chaos, is what he's describing. Specifically, the third day, the undoing of the third day of creation, where the waters were gathered into one place and God made a firmament and there was a separation of the waters and the land. The psalmist says, I'm trying to imagine a situation here for you to help you to prove verse 1 to you that imagine if this thing happened, if the natural disaster was so bad that there was a massive earthquake off the Richter scale and a mountain was really picked up and hurled into the middle of the ocean. See, what he's saying there is, imagine the most secure thing you could ever imagine in this life. Imagine that crumbling before you. In the midst of that, I will not fear. And you say, you got to be kidding me. That's not how we live, is it? Is this guy for real? These sons of Korah. Question better is, how did they get here? How did they understand this? How do you get to a place like this when all of life has been going so well and then boom, you say all your prayers have really only been, I'm so blessed, God, I'm so blessed, God, I'm so blessed. Thank you for blessing me, blessing me, blessed. That's been the heart of your prayers. Then boom, in one day, you're not saying that. Verse 2 is the most unexplainable phenomenon to earthly people, isn't it? Verse 2 would be the worst thing that could happen to earthly people. And the psalmist is saying to us today, let me tell you how I got through that. Let me paint a picture for you. Let me help you understand. One of those terrible scenarios came upon me. And the truth of the matter is, he says two things in the first verse. God is our refuge and God is our strength. He's always present, a very present help in all kinds of trouble. These were two things that he had received from the Lord, two things that he knew that the Lord would do for him and that the Lord had done for him. Luther was taken by this psalm, was one of his favorite psalms, and he coined it, God is a bulwark, which means a stronghold, a safe haven, a place of safety, a fortification, a sanctuary, an embankment. So here the Lord is represented as the very place of fortification, of safety, that we can flee to in all these awful times of tragedy and trial. Luther saying that had his head on the chopping block. And this is the kind of perspective that the psalm is giving us. We can flee to him in these situations. We can actually come to him in these situations. There's never a situation in this life, on this earth, that we can never come to the Lord who is an embankment for us, who is a fortification for us, who is a bulwark. I love the word. And then the psalmist says, not only is he that kind of refuge that we can come to and pray to and talk to, and he actually surrounds us and helps us, but notice he says, he is also our strength. We're always looking for strength, aren't we? We're always looking for a strength. And I think we can be very clear here that it's just not the strength outwardly, it's inner strength that he gives. When we face these things, that he actually strengthens our hearts and minds. If God is doing this for us, and this is the perspective that the believer is to have, and this is the happy life that he enjoys in the midst of affliction, you really can appreciate why Jesus was so strong against anxiety. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Which translate, if you could, if you're anxious and you're really worried about your life and you can't, in all of that worry and all of that stress, add one single hour to its duration, why in the world are you worried about everything else that's bigger when you can't? By anything that you do, add 1 hour to your existence on this earth. Do you know that your whole lives, the day of your death and the calling to be home, is already determined? You don't determine it. The cancer, the loss of a job, you don't control it. You see, the heart of this is believing that you have a God that holds your life. I'm concerned about our older people, of course. But why the panic? Why the panic? I mean, we have to get a little bit under that, don't we? It's easy to say, as I hear people say, it's just media-induced panic. But I'm not even totally convinced about that anymore. Things are so out of harmony right now in the world. Things are so out of harmony in society right now. Now you throw in chaotic nature. You throw in the chaos of nature into this. And what the Lord has put into place in creation, a chaotic creation right now, you can only suppress the truth that something is wrong for so long. You can only push that down, as Romans 1, for so long. See, I believe the panic is induced by real fear that people's lives are out of harmony with God. And they feel powerless right now to stop this. Our comforts, our securities have been so good. The reason and the way we see it is people's grasping for security in anything. They want a sense that everything will be okay. They want a sense that all of this that is happening is just not much and we'll get through it. If the Lord is not your security, then of course you're panicked. Of course you're grasping for any way to find security. You have no refuge to run to. All these panics are little refuge places that people are running to. But it's always been the teaching of the Bible that anyone who holds dear their lives, right, will lose it. Holding dear to our life in this life is a foolish thing to do because there's nothing that stops impending death. You know, I'm not saying that we're not to be responsible. I don't think I have to get into all that. But what the media wants to do, there's no doubt, is control your thinking. And that's what bothers me. That the government should be our savior. That our plan should be our savior. That what we do is our savior. And that we should be able to control this. And that's what Psalm 46 is saying, you're all wrong. The reason we don't fear through this, and that fear doesn't govern us through this, is because the Lord himself is our security. And the psalmist is inviting us to share in that. The psalmist is inviting us to understand that and to appreciate that. The fact is that our faith, the genuineness of it, is always tested in moments of severe conflict. Calvin said, when hell seems to open up against us and begin to swallow us up, here he is inviting the people of God to what they have, even though when adversity comes, they don't often realize it. And I think that's the heart of this. You're being invited to what you already have, a security that the world is grasping for in the most foolish of things, and your God is saying, I am your security. I am your shield. I am your fortress. Elizabeth Elliot, you know, lost two husbands, and commenting on this psalm, these were her words. Everything that seemed most dependable is given away. Mountains are falling. The earth is reeling. In such a time, it is a profound comfort to know that although all things seem to be shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. God is not shaken. Doesn't mean I'm a stoic through this. Doesn't mean that I don't feel fear at times. Of course we do. Or that we shouldn't wash our hands. But of course you should. What it means is that as we look to Jesus for strength, we will never be so overwhelmed with terror so as to lose heart. Our confidence in him and his upholding of us will always keep us. And the psalm is helping us to consider how ready God is to do that. That's the beauty of this. It's not saying, well, maybe we'll get help. The psalm is saying, not only is God our helper, but he's ready to give it to you at any time you call upon him. That's the emphasis here. The imagery is beautiful in verse 4. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Notice that. The city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when her morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. Boy, don't we see that right now. He utters his voice, the earth melts. God is ready to help you. Not only is he able, but he's ready to help you. They do think that the background of this psalm is 2 Kings 19, when Sennacherib, the great king of the Assyrian army, came to surround Jerusalem. And remember that he made his boast in the Lord, boast against the Lord, that he would destroy and throw down, and Hezekiah came. And remember when he took that threat letter and he laid it out to the before the Lord, and here was Hezekiah's prayer. O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. That's what this psalm's saying. You are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. You're the Savior. And soon after that letter, an angel went out and struck down 185,000 of those enemies. See, God is ready to act. God is ready to help you. He assures us of his care in this psalm. Notice he says there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Everything seems to unravel in the turbulent, raging waters of this world. Everything turns against us. But this psalm is saying, in turning our eyes to the true God of heaven and earth, to his Jerusalem, of which the earthly one was just a type, of the true Jerusalem, the city that Abraham looked for, that there is a home there for us. That's really where we belong anyways. And that in that place, from that throne, God issues his decrees. God issues his judgments. Remember in Revelation, we were going through the book of Revelation at the beginning of the visions. The first thing that John saw in Revelation chapter 4, after this I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me was like a trumpet and said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit and behold, a throne stood in heaven, fixed. And one seated on the throne, and around the throne was a very calm, glassy sea. There's perfect peace. There's perfect tranquility. There's no turbulence. And God wants you to know that he is ready to help you and that he is defending you from that place. Our whole society is given to build up security so that we don't need the Lord. That's what we live in. That's what we have. Our whole society wants to put us in a place that we never trust. And here the psalmist is saying, but there are circumstances that you will find yourselves in that you have no idea how to get through. You see, verse 5 pictures him just up at the break of dawn, ready to fight and defend those who've come to him. And you'll notice verse 8 that he calls his people to consider his works. He says, you're looking at everything wrongly in this world. That's the point of this. Come behold the works of the Lord. Listen to this. How he has brought desolations on the earth. Who? Who brings the desolations on the earth? And then he makes the war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. He brings the desolations. He is judge. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there's going to be famines and there's going to be pestilences in various places. All these are the beginnings of the birth pains. And remember what he said in the middle of it? See to it, you are not fearful. Don't be frightened. We sing this all the time. Rejoice, the Lord is King. Now I watched the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come, and I looked. And behold, I looked, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. And that's why everyone's at the store. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider was named Death, and Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence. They hit commerce, and they hit health. And the psalmist says, consider this. Consider this. You think these things happen by chance? And then, so that people will fear the Lord, which is what we should pray right now, he brings calm. That's why we're praying, that the gospel would make an inroad in the midst of this, and that people would see who holds all of this in his hand. And he wants you to know that whatever is happening, whatever the world faces, whatever this sad realm goes through, you're not touched. That was Psalm 91. I will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall, but in God's plan, you can't be touched. And that's why there's a resurrection. That's why Jesus brought a resurrection. Because you have made the Most High your dwelling place. He's the same language of Psalm 46. The Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall ever be allowed to befall you. Let God arise, and by his might, scatter his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. God cares for us. Our God is he. Who would not fear his majesty in earth as well as heaven? Our God upholds us in the strife. To us he grants eternal life and saves from desolation. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their soul when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation. Psalm 68. And I believe that's why the end of the psalm is so beautiful today. It's a call that comes to us in the midst of everything that's happening in those familiar words and those words that we love that you'll notice there in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We love that verse. And I think it absolutely applies to exactly what Jesus said. Don't fear, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But be still and know that I am God. It's not always a sweet contemplative thing. It's not just saying, it is saying to us, you need to stop worrying as his people and you need to be calm because he is your God. He's actually, in some ways, I think, turning around and defending us with this statement. He's talking to everyone who's harassing us and bringing fear on us. It's almost as the Lord says to all these pundits on CNN and Fox News, cease and desist. You will not scare my people. Stop it. Be still and know that I'm God, and when I speak, the earth melts. Bow and recognize I'm in control. The Lord is a refuge and a strength to us. The Lord of the whole armies of Israel, the whole host of heaven, the Lord of hosts is with us. In the turbulent waters of the world, there's one shelter where you can find covering. At his moments of depression and discouragement, Luther would say to his fellow laborer Melanchthon, come, Philip, let's sing the 46th psalm. And they would sing what we have come to know as a mighty fortress, and of course the words of Psalm 46 this way, a sure stronghold our God is he, a timely shield and weapon our help he'll be, and he'll set us free from every ill can happen. Come, let's sing the 46th psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, he utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Thank you.
you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.